Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5.0 out of 10 dining experience, the objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. Friend of the Doughboys, Marissa Pinson and John Glover were the most recent guests as they reviewed Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many Costco hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Damn, I wish I was on that episode. I'd crush that. Head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast, FINEDININGPODCAST, and click B's giveaway to enter a giveaway for an all expenses paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current front runner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you could watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th episode. Disclaimer, $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee gift card. I love doing those fast read disclaimer things. Go give Fine Dining a listen, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America. What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, the number one fuckboy, the number one fuckboy, Jenny G. Fuckboy. Just listened to a song featuring the lyrics fuckboy. Couldn't imagine why. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Destroying a flat animal. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studios, the bookists and lyricists behind Toxic Masculinity the Musical. I got Doug Weidick and Ken McGraw.
Hello. What's up?
Hello.
What's up?
Oh, man. It was really funny listening to a song featuring the lyrics fuck boy. Well, I mean, yeah. But that wasn't a hip hop song.
No, right.
Well, when we were like, oh, we're going to LA, like we should like try and like see some like people while we're out there, and we're like, Gabrus says that he's the number one fuckboy. Yeah. I think this is right up his alley. Yeah. So.
He needs agreed. I was like, sure, you guys should do it. And then you sent the link, and I was like, well, that's perfect.
Yeah, we had to pay our respects to the head honcho. Yeah.
Right. Thank you. Kiss the fuckboy ring and keep moving.
Thank you for inviting us, Godfather.
You come to me on the day of my boy's fucking. But you guys are in town. I don't know when this episode comes out, so this is not technically a plug, but you guys are in town doing
our show,
two-person show, right?
Yeah, we wrote Toxic Masculinity the Musical, and we've been running it for about 8 months now in UCB, New York. Mm-hmm. So we're out here doing two shows, one at Sunset, one at Franklin. So super stoked.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Fuck it. Let's plug those shows, because maybe this will go up Thursday of this week.
Cool.
That'd be awesome.
Just say those dates.
So we have one show tomorrow, which is Wednesday, the September 18th.
Yeah.
Just to timestamp this. Yeah.
And that's
so yesterday, if you're listening, all of a sudden we're like that Mr. Show sketch.
Yeah, inside of the TV.
Yeah.
And that's 10:30. And then Thursday, we are at Franklin at 8 p.m.
Thursday. This week.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's the 19th?
Yeah, September 19th.
And then we're still running in New York at this time, so
yeah,
super fun.
So if you're awesome. Listening from New York, come check us out. Yeah. ToxicMasculinityTheMusical.com.
Yeah, we got a website, which was...
For a show?
Yeah.
Hartney's like, no dice. You're like, all right, but have you seen the website?
Yeah. And he was just like, here's some notes.
Here's some notes. Have you guys heard of C++?
The ultimate heighten.
That's fucking awesome. But you guys wanted to talk musical theater.
Oh yeah.
Which is, cause that's something that's always on my mind, especially now at UCB, doing comedy. It used to be like freak assholes that did it. Now it feels like there's way more like theater kids coming in. So people with actual theatrical backgrounds. That's when I started to feel old, is when I was like, did you guys all go to NYU and major in acting, theater, or filmmaking?
Yeah.
You did.
I did. Yeah. I went to NYU for acting. There's definitely a huge contingency of NYU kids that are like, I'm going to go do UCB classes so I have something to fucking do.
Well, it's a dream. In hindsight, I wish I would have went to NYU and started UCB when my freshman year of college. college.
Right.
Right. And just been like doing it a little earlier.
Yeah.
But then again, you could just keep wishing that forever. Dude, maybe when I was a freshman in college, it was not the best time to be in an adult education class.
Yeah. Right. I was that annoying 20-year-old intern who was like, I saw this in the New York Times. I want to take classes at the UCB. It's owned by Amy Poehler.
That's awesome.
My mom still doesn't know what the fuck I do.
Yeah, same here. My mom is like, oh, my mom complimented me to say that there was an article about Impractical Jokers in the newspaper. Oh. And I was like,
do you know them?
No, she thought, is this the show you're on? And I'm not on any show. And also, I got so mad at her. I was like, Joanne, you know, I'm not on the show. And also, we had this conversation 1 year ago about the same show.
It was so hard to get my mom to come see our show because the only other show that she'd come see me in New York was she surprised me at an Improv 301 afternoon show.
Okay.
And to this day, she was just like, well, thank you. Jesus Christ.
Oh, I always wanted to see lawyers do half-committed improv at 3 in the afternoon.
Meet my friend Peter. He's a doctor.
Oh, yikes. But let's talk musical theater. Do you guys both have musical theater backgrounds? Or
I've done it since I was a kid. I didn't major in it in college because I was like, I want to do more film TV. So I went to a film and television conservatory. But I was doing it since like middle school. And then once I finished my conservatory program, I fell right back into like musical theater. Just auditioning for non-union theater shows in New York where they're like, we'll give you a pickle if you do this. Yeah. And you're like, great.
This is Dick Cheney the musical. Yeah. And you're like, okay. You're auditioning for the role of the shotgun that shoots his head off.
I did a fucking show in 2013 that was wound up being like, it seemed like it was propaganda and none of us, like the whole cast wasn't in the same audition space until like tech week. And then a reviewer came and was like, came New Year's Eve. We had a show.
Yikes.
And said, I saw the worst show of 2014 and it's not 2014. It was like the guy who wrote the music rhymed eggs with eggs. It was like fucking bad.
Oh man.
Yikes.
Yeah. And then I went to acting school, but I became like, I've been a musician my whole life. Like I play guitar and all this stuff. So I became obsessed with musical improv. I saw Eliza Skinner do musical improv.
Hell
and,
yeah.
Like, it blew my brain. I was like, that's it. That's the thing.
If improv blows your mind, you have to see musical improv to be like, wow. And then once you know both, you're like, oh, like now that I know how the scaffolding works, yeah. Like it's not that crazy that this building is at the end of the show. But the first time I saw Baby Wants Candy at Del Close Marathon, I was like, holy shit. Just musicals are built to have endings. And like no improv show ever has a good ending.
No.
So when, like a musical improv show has like the power. That's why I think they always crushed Cage Match, like I Eat Pandas and Baby Wants Candy, because you just know, all right, 25 minutes. At 21 minutes, let's start the
final finale.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just builds to such a crescendo. Everyone's like, who cares what happened in the other show?
They could literally just repeat the same line over and over in harmony, and it will like get the loudest applause you'll hear like for weeks.
Music is more powerful than...
It brings and people just together. Cry. Even when it's a happy song, people just get so emotional when they hear music. It's a beautiful thing.
It's exciting. Hey, thanks.
So people are crying at Toxic Masculine in the musical.
People have. It's nuts. It's fucking crazy. I'm crying.
I never had, you know, like I had my stereotypical like 1990s musical theater is gay. It's boring. Then I went to like see a Broadway show and I was like, oh, this is like really fun. I am glad I don't have to do this like all the time. Like I've always had like a complicated relationship with it. Then I saw like way later in life, like in my 20s, I saw August Osage County, a non-musical, a drama on Broadway. And I was like, oh, the power of theater. And then I like flipped back in the next musical I saw. I was like so caught up in it. And
that's
just like, it took me literally growing up to be like, this
is awesome.
And like appreciating it for the art form rather than being like, these jokes are corny and being like, no, these are musical theater jokes.
What
like,
was the first musical that you saw?
I saw Grease twice.
Whoa. Yeah, was and that one with Rosie O'Donnell
I saw
in it?
Once with Rosie as Rizzo. And then once with someone else as...
Oh, yeah. He was on Rosie O'Donnell's show.
Three times as a kid. For Harry Potter trivia.
With J.K. Rowling.
I could not even imagine what for, and then you saying trivia makes it even weirder.
She had a lot of smart kids on her show.
Was that her thing? She would have like yeah. like little like weird genius kids and have them compete and shit.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was on it. I knew a lot about Harry Potter at the time. And she gave me like autographed books. I met J.K. Rowling.
Oh,
like,
that's it was awesome.
First thing that comes up if you type in Doug and Rosie on YouTube.
It's on your reel, right?
It's how I open my acting reel.
You might actually remember me from this.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's so good.
What was the first musical you guys saw? Or saw, depending? Yeah.
Annie, Get Your Gun, when I was on Rosie. I was staying in New York, and my mom, we went to the TKTS thing, and we saw Annie, Get Your Gun with Tom Wopat and Bernadette Peters.
Damn.
Wow. Yeah, shit was fire.
Damn.
It was so good.
That's lit, as the kids say.
So I never really came to the city until I got involved in like middle school theater, like high school theater. So, and I am so close. But my mom was just like, yeah, whatever. Like, I support you here, but like, I have no time to go to the city. Yeah. So I'm like, great. So I love my mom's death. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. So my first show was with like a class troupe. We saw Young Frankenstein on Broadway with Megan Mullally and like Roger Bart. Oh. And like, apparently it was like a flop, but like, it was so funny. Like, I'm like, this is incredible. Like, it was fucking awesome.
You can see a bad musical, but if it's done, like if it's at least trying something, it feels different than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a bad musical still has a song that gets to you, or still has like, you know, like it's a bad drama you can like zone out on. A bad musical is like, hey, let me at least a new song. So then when you see any musical, you're like, this is amazing. Then when you see one that's like markedly better than one,
you're like,
whoa. Well, yeah. After I just saw Beetlejuice, shout out to Anthony King. I saw Beetlejuice when I was in town. I was like, this is fucking great.
Yeah.
It's so
great show.
Fun. Yeah.
The set's awesome. And like, I leaned over to my girlfriend at the time, like at the show, and I was like, you can tell maybe the most experienced like UCB writer wrote this. I'm like, the timing is perfect, like in every joke.
The jokes are great. The songs are fun. Alex Brightman playing Beetlejuice is doing a solid John Gemmerling impression that I appreciate. Whoever is playing the Catherine O'Hara role, whose name escapes me at this moment.
Leslie Kritzer,
I think,
plays the role.
So fucking, she's the
awesome.
Standout in a play that I loved.
She
like,
was
where
like,
everyone was good. She was the best.
She was like so snubbed for like a Tony Award nomination this year. Like people were kind of shocked. Like it was like crazy.
Cause
like,
I saw them on the day of the Tonys.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's
so
a great show.
Like, you better play your fucking hearts out.
Yeah. Yeah,
before they were crushed for not winning. That was their last one as potential winners.
I mean, Brightman like is a Tony nominee back to back, which is awesome for School of Rock.
School of Rock, yeah. Right.
And like to play, and he's like in the same theater. Like he did School of Rock,
yep.
It closed, came back to do Beetlejuice, and now it's in the same exact theater. And it's
oh,
like,
man.
Like that's your home.
It's the Winter
now.
Garden, right?
Winter
right.
Garden.
Yeah. He's like the only
home of cats for my entire life, I think, up until.
Did you, in like, obviously, you would see like those Broadway commercials of where it's like telemarketer and like ticket charge today.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like all those like cats one where it's just like, I remember that one in Cabaret. Like it was like.
Cats was the one I remember the most because I would just be like, what? I have no idea what this is.
I remember
this is
Cabaret.
Like, seems like a school production where you're like, someone comes to your school and is like, cats are going to teach you about drugs. That's like, I just, as like a little kid, I'm so mad I never saw Cats because it was such a conversation. It's such a thing. And now I'm going to go into the movie and be like, no. What's happening? Yeah. I have no background with this.
Rebel Wilson was also in the, no, I'm kidding.
As like a 0-year-old Australian.
Yeah.
In a beautiful way though, you're going to get to experience it for the first time.
Oh, it will be truly beautiful.
It's actually funny. You're going to see the movie for the first time because the first time I saw Les Mis was with Hugh Jackman in the movie.
Same.
And I was like, oh, this is great. And the people I were with were just like, this was not what this is. And I was like, oh, shit. And then I saw it when it came back to Broadway and I'm like, oh, this is incredible.
Yeah.
This is fucking
that
awesome.
That makes total sense. Yeah. So shit. It's just like the power of being in that small room or even a big room, just the power of being in the room with it. It's like live music versus music videos versus like album records. Yeah.
It's truly like a night out. Like you're going to have like a conversation piece and like, it's just like you go out beforehand, especially if you're like commuting into the city to like do a show. Like,
right.
It's like something that people from all over the world come to do. Like I'm going to go see a Broadway show.
Yes.
It's nuts.
Yeah. It's crazy how few I went to despite living 45 minutes away from Broadway and eventually being working in theater and acting. But my mom now goes like she's seen literally every single like between her and any one of her widow friends or the birthday group, the church group, the ex what like the high school friends.
between any one of those groups, she's seen every single show. And oh, here's the other thing I want to talk about going to Broadway specifically. When I went to go see Beetlejuice, we had like an afternoon, it was a matinee, so we had like an afternoon drink, and then, excuse me, me and Justin Tyler, former guests of the podcast, we went out, we went to the, there was a bar, and we're like, oh, let's grab drinks. Hey, we like, oh shit. And then all of a sudden we realize it's like, they have Casamigos tequila, and I know you're at Broadway, so it's going to cost a fortune, but then all of a sudden I was like, can I have a double Casamigos and soda in a giant glass? And they like, put it with like a lid and everything, and made it, and then it made it so easy to have in your seat.
Yep.
And all of a sudden I was like, well, then I could sit through almost anything with like a big ass cocktail. And now it's really, that makes me feel like, oh shit, this, and my wife, who's sort of, and has a, even less of an opinion of musical theater, like doesn't have much experience with it, but got into it after seeing Beetlejuice and some other stuff. She, when she was back in town, her friends were like, we're going to go see Hadestown. And she was talking to me about it. And I was like, I don't know anything about it. I just know everyone loves it. So go see it. And then she said the same thing. She was like, it's so fun. You like make a, you get a cocktail, you know, you pay $22 for gin and tonic after you're paying $100 for the ticket. Then you sit down and you watch a fuck, you hang out, sip a drink and watch a show. And it's a fucking wild time.
I saw Hadestown twice so far. And I, cause I won the lottery for which is awesome. Cause you get to sit like first row. And then my girlfriend, who couldn't go that night, was like, I want to go. So we got drunk and I bought tickets on like StubHub for like $190 each. And I was like, we're going.
Yeah, you're like, this sort of evens out the lottery win.
Oh, man.
And it's fucking great.
It's
right?
a fucking great show. So it was awesome.
Yeah, that's what she said. I was like, oh, I got to see this.
Yeah, it's like Greek tragedy in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's exactly what the
fuck. Twist my arm, I'm in.
And they got the Jujumycin cocktails for you, so you'll be happy.
Fun fact, I heard that if you bring one of those Broadway cups to the bar, your drink is going to be cheaper.
Oh.
I heard that. That's a little...
Like a souvenir cup? Yeah. That's wild. I'm going to be move back to New York and become like a Midtown West alcoholic with a huge fucking budget for tickets.
Selling in Chinatown, like on Canal Street, just like fucking souvenir cups. Be like, you can take it.
I'm going to remember that for like... I've always joked about with Tiff, like just staying in somewhere in Midtown Manhattan and getting like 5 Broadway show tickets in a row, like for like Monday through Thursday night or whatever, or Tuesday through Friday night, and just see a bunch of shows. I'm like, oh, keep your cups, guys. Like, I mean, hold on to your mugs. We're gonna need these.
Oh, we're gonna wash them out. We'll bring them back. Put them in your purse. And imagine going to the bar and being like, can I get a vodka tonic? And just put it in here.
Yeah, I know. You like pull out like a fucking one of those trucker.
It says Hello Dolly. Gold mugs.
It's like a Contigo mug.
Oh, my light up Lord of the Rings mug from Burger King in 99.
Yeah, you have to put my Giants freezer cup in there for a few hours. I'll pick it up in intermission.
You open up your cooler. I got chilled mugs. Let's use these. But what do you guys enjoy about musical theater? Can we articulate what's so fun about it?
I think it's the size. I think it's that it's bigger than life. Like
it's like supposed to be a big show.
And they're unashamed of it.
Right.
Yeah.
They're doing a show. It's like, you know, like they're, it's about the power. It's the power of the show.
Yeah.
It's like where you're making like a movie or a TV or something. You're like downplay that we're showing this to people.
Right.
This is supposed to feel voyeuristic. Broadway's like, welcome motherfucker. Or like musical theater is like, welcome and come on in. Look at us. Look at, we're looking at you. Mm-hmm. You're part of where you're in a show now.
That's what I like. It's also like they're telling a story like through the lens of like, it's like they're performing just for you, and it's just like you're enjoying it yourself, but you're like with an audience of people. It's like super fun, but the way that like the story can progress like through music, and I like, especially if you like incredible music, like if it's like a Hamilton or something.
Right.
Like I wish I had Hamilton when I was in high school. I would have been a fucking history major. I think I would have been like, oh, this is dope. And I think it's special. I think because it also like, if you love the arts, you're encapsulating something that you enjoy, and then if you love music, it's just kind of adds another layer because, you know, melodies, harmonies, all that good shit.
Yeah. Like you can listen to melodies and harmonies that have no point and it's enjoyable.
Yeah. And you're like,
and then if it's also part of a story or a character you care about, or, you know, an outcome you're curious about, it's just that much more. Like you can literally just listen to two people harmonize and it feels nice.
Totally.
And add to the layer of that, like of storytelling or, you know, great acting. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is, this makes sense why people like this.
Right. Like even when people would sing on the subway and you're just kind of having a shit day, but then two people start harmonizing, like there's
and
a palpable,
like, oh shit.
yeah. energy change. But like one of the things I like about musical theater is there can be high camp one moment and then a moment of like super serious after yeah. that. Like
right.
big contrasts.
Yeah. And it's yeah. like all allowed, not allowed, or it's all like, it's all part of the medium.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like all part of that is like, we're going to have this serious sequence where like a daughter is dealing with rape in a, like, and then minutes later, it's going to be some weird, like opening stage doors can't see each other farts or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a show a few years ago that like won the Pulitzer Prize. I think that was the last one before Hamilton that won it. It's called Next to Normal. And oh, have yeah. you heard about this?
Is that, wait, why do I know? Is Jonathan Groff, was he in that? No.
Alice Ripley.
It was Alice Ripley and like some other
Was it
people.
Like the spiritual descendant of Rent? Like it was like the next musical
sort
about
of.
A bunch of young kids doing
it,
something?
It was about a family and like, it's like, oh, like you're watching it and you're like, oh, it's a fucked up family. It's a broken home story. And but the music is like rocking and it's dope. And then like you find out that the mom has bipolar depression midway through like the first act and the son is not there. She just is envisioning him the whole time. The family, it's a mind fuck and it's nuts. And she goes through like shock therapy. It's a whole thing. And you're like,
holy shit.
Well, and the music, but you're like, wow, this is a good fucking song. Yeah.
Like if you like just played the soundtrack on Spotify in your car and weren't really listening to lyrics, you'd be like, boom, like rocking yeah. along. And then you're like, wait a minute, did she say electroshock therapy?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Did she say my lobotomy scar is healing?
Because right, I feel great. Yeah.
You put it on at a party. Yo, you guys listen to this. And yeah, like, what the yeah. fuck is this?
Don't analyze the lyrics. Well, that's like me and hip hop. Like, I listen to so much hip hop, and then my wife will be like in the car, and I'll have it on. We're driving, and she's like, "What did he just say?" I'm like, "Oh, something about like fucking her, flipping it, and fucking her again, or whatever." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, yeah. Sorry, I really
are you referencing the baby right now?
I think I might be. I'm like, "Oh, I never really think about the lyrics like in that way." But when someone comes in, and is like, "This, I can't listen to this anymore." I'm like, "Oh, that's completely reasonable." you sometimes you're like past the lyrics and you're like, oh, this is just a fun beat, and then you're like, yeah. wait, what are they talking about? Right.
Now, yeah. now it's like, you want me to turn this up? Should we change this?
Yeah. Like, I don't think that ever happens with musical theater where it's ever like where it's like offensive. It's always just like, wow, that's really
it's
sad.
Heavy. Yeah. Heavy. Yeah. 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 I've had musical theater pop on at like a party and scrambled to change it. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like already like underneath the at the bench and you're like listening to fucking Onyx, and then yeah. it just downshifts.
Oh man.
When you're a jet, yeah. you're like, no, I just got pinned by the bar.
No,
that's
my pump.
That works for me.
Yeah. That's like me. I can listen to movie soundtracks while I work out and pretend I'm in a movie, and all of a sudden I'm a fucking like a hero.
Yeah.
More than I've ever done before.
Yeah. I'm about to do my max set and I put on fucking all that jazz.
Setting the clean and jerk record.
Ooh.
He's doing a signature jazz.
They do Broadway weightlifting shit at Mark Fisher Fitness. Have you ever heard of that place? It's in
nuts.
Midtown. And they'll put on like all that jazz and be like, get your kettlebells. And it's all crazy people that go to that gym.
Right. Is it all like theater people and theater adjacent
it's
people?
It's all
theater kid
yeah.
energy.
"66% of men start losing their hair by age 35. That's 2/3 of the population. Once you start noticing you're thinning hair, it can be already too late. A lot of my friends, a lot of people my age, a lot of people younger than me, definitely people older than me, you get that hairline slowly moving back, start to get some bald spots, start to get some thinning. And here's the thing. You got to act fast. You know, there's no point in letting it go completely gone before you try to take care of yourself. So the solution is forhims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. You can, it's not like weird pills that say like hair growth on them. You know, you don't buy them at a gas station. They're not, it's not made from like ground up horse penis or something like that. No, it's like, brand non-brand name prescription stuff. What's that called? General name. You know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry. It's prescription solutions backed by science. You don't have to go to the doctor. You don't have to wait in long pharmacy lines. 4Hims connects you to real doctors, which could save you hours. And it's all confidential and discreet. You answer a few quick questions. Doctor reviews it. They determine if it's right for you. And they prescribe you prescription. Generic is the word I was looking for earlier. Generic versions of prescriptions. And you get the hair loss treatment everyone is talking about. It's been in GQ, Men's Health, Esquire, Esquire, Playboy, all the men's magazines. Do yourself a favor and order now. My listeners can get started with the Hims Complete Hair Kit for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last and subject to doctor's approval. See website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy somewhere else. Go to forhims.com/mighty. That's forhims.com/mighty. forhims.com/mighty. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep walking? Of course you'd take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. They're the best. Did you know you can bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. And if you're like me, the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, you know, like really gambling, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year. That I know. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code MIGHTY to activate the offer. That's promo code MIGHTY, M-I-G-H-T-Y. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win. You get paid. Well, it's just so funny. New York City has that vibe. It's like New York is so quote unquote gritty, but now it's also so quote unquote gritty and so quote unquote wealthy and all that. But there's something it's been for over 100 years is like theatery. Like, and it's the people, the kind of people that are attracted to musical theater bring a certain energy to stereotype them as a large swath. They bring a certain type of energy that is positive. And then like, whether they end up doing it or not, those people end up staying in the city because whether like, no matter what part of theater they are, you're like, oh, I'm a casting assistant for commercial agency. Exactly. But I'm a theater kid at heart, you know, exactly. It's like, and they're just there still. Yeah.
It's like what I once sang magic to do.
Yeah. Ooh, a Pippin. It's great. It's awesome because like, there's also like so many, like the Tony Awards are televised, which is great. So it's like people who can't see musicals or like don't have access to it can see it at least once a year and be like, become a fan of theater and like,
right. It's awesome. Cool. Like people are, I hear from people that I know don't watch any musical theater, myself included, but you'll be like, oh, I saw that number, that one song at the Tonys and it looked cool as hell or like sounded great.
The Tony Awards are, I think, the best award show. And I'm not just saying that as
well, because they're not just showing clips from stuff you could have already seen. Yeah, that's like the other thing. It's like, I would watch the Oscars if fucking De Niro had to come out and act his scene live on stage. That'd be fucking sick.
From a scene from The Irishman. He fucking goes.
Comes in like young age makeup. It's so fucking confusing.
And a lot of them have to remember edits that day.
Yeah.
You know, medleys and shit and lyric changes that day.
Yeah.
Tony rehearsal, isn't it like you rehearse like the week of and then you go to final tech the morning of the show, you do a full dress rehearsal, you go do a show, you go do the number at the Tonys all that day. So you're up at like 4 a.m.
So on the day I saw Beetlejuice, that means they got up, did a musical that morning for tech rehearsal, then did a song that morning for tech rehearsal, then did the musical Beetlejuice that I saw and then performed at the Tonys that night.
And then on top of that, if they're in like, if anybody in that show is in the opening number, they have to rehearse the opening number with like cordon and stuff or like, you're there like it's a fucking marathon.
Oh, that's awesome though.
Yeah.
That's cool to know that. Yeah. I don't know why I like that. They work like the hard. Hustle. It feels like football, like watching Hard Knocks.
It's right. Like they do it 8 shows a week. It's like a Broadway schedule is insane. Yeah. It's like
I think about that less so with even though because I'm not a singer, so I don't fully understand how taxing it is. But I think about that with like heavy emotional dramas. Like when I saw August Osage County, which is also almost 3 hours.
Yeah. So
it
was
like,
so good.
I was like, so this woman has to have this breakdown 8 times a week. Holy shit. To tap into that is wild.
Sometimes twice a day, if they got a matinee, baby.
I know. That's the craziest thing to me is
that's
like,
crazy.
I just want to be like, I just want to lay down and fucking, but there's also to me knowing a little bit about show business. Like I'm romanticized the idea of like being in a play. Like where you're like, oh, you just like live in New York and you're like free all day. And then like 4:30, you head to the theater. Yeah. And then
it's like you go
do
to
your
auditions.
Show and you go out and drink. You just sleep till noon if you want. Like that shit all just, I was like, I gotta get in a play.
Oh my God.
I'm not a good actor, good at memorizing lines, or live in New York. And I'm like, I should get in a play.
I literally was
but
like,
I just like the idea of getting on the train at West 4th and be like, headed to my show.
Going to Broadway.
Yeah.
I'm always thinking like, if I was in a Broadway show, I would have the sickest body because I'd be like, oh, there's no excuse for me not to go to the gym during the day.
Yeah,
and like,
I should be exercising during the day. And
and like, if
so that's all it's going to take. Yeah, I'm putting a Broadway show, and then I'll finally get. Oh,
I've been telling my cardiologist. I'm just like, yeah, once I get this show, I swear my heart health's going
to
be good.
And trust me, Broadway shows are easy to get.
It's simple.
It's not hard at all. Trust me.
No, yeah. Walk in the park.
I've been doing for like 8 years from like, I would say 25 to. And maybe even like 27 to 35, I was saying, well, once I get successful, once I have a TV show, then I'll like take martial arts or then I'll really focus on blank. I'll get scuba certified, but let me wait till I get some. And then I got to be 35 or 36 and none of that stuff had happened. And I was like, well, time to reevaluate. And like, I've all of a sudden the last 2 years. So this is not a direct no, but I don't keep punting things until, as I've learned. And I was just like, well, I guess I should just do these things.
Yeah.
Did you go and then, scuba like, someone, you know, dies at like 55 and you're like, wow, I should do these right now.
You're just like, you know what? I have never seen Mount Rushmore.
Right. It is like such a minor thing. I truly was like, I'll get scuba certified. Once I'm like wealthy and have all this stuff and I'll be like able to like not be stressed about saving money, I could do all this stuff. And then I'm like, well, 8 years went by. It didn't happen. And it's not like I was smart with my money because I didn't get scuba certified.
Right.
So I just fucking in the last like 2 years have start like did a half marathon, got scuba certified. I'm like doing all this weird ass shit.
That's
awesome. Where I'm just like, I guess it's not that weird for a lot of people. That's completely normal.
Yeah.
But I'm so career focused that I was like, this is making me so much happier than I could have imagined. Or to be honest, maybe my career was making me so much more depressed than I noticed until right now.
Yeah,
right.
Until I had something else. Even before you're like, so what have you been up to? I'm like, hitting the gym a lot lately.
I was like, fuck yeah, brother.
Yeah. And just keeping me happy, man. Swam laps today.
Oh, I wish.
Allowing good things in your life because you haven't hit a certain career path yet. I've totally hit that too.
Well, like, you're like, say, like you're like only will reward yourself. Like, and you're like, oh, why do I think I'm not deserving of this quote unquote reward now?
Now, right, yeah.
And, why, and what is me being on two episodes of Superstore mean? Like, why am I, now it's time to be celebrated? It's like no different. My life doesn't change.
Right, exactly. And you have friends. We all have friends who are doing big shit now.
Yeah.
And their life doesn't change that much. No.
They just like always have cool shoes on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like the first step when like when a male friend gets a lot of money. And and then their teeth get nicer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yo, you look good. And it's like, yeah, baby, booked. I'm like, oh, great. Yeah.
Oh, you look good. Yeah, well, I was able to sleep through a full night because I'm not stressed about money.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow. Well, wow. Tell me all about that.
I made rent for next month on the 3rd of this month. It's like, oh.
Holy shit.
Hold on. Can we get coffee? Can you tell me how to do that? It's like fucking nuts.
Tell me more about booking TV shows. I can't. What do you guys like? Like, what's going on in musicals? Are there trends in musicals now? Let's talk about jukebox musicals for a second, because those are fucking wild.
I love it. I saw the Cher show twice or three times. I saw it a bunch. I know.
My mom loved that the Cher show too.
So did I.
And she's like, it's Cher. It's a bunch of different people playing.
It was
Cher.
Three different girls playing Cher throughout her life, and it was super fun. The costumes were amazing, but there was also some of the most insane dialogue I've ever heard in any show. Like the guy playing Sonny Bono, like he dies in the show.
Oh,
like,
no.
You know, they don't show it.
I thought they did like a skiing montage.
Skiing.
He's just like,
it's a beautiful day. Look at the snow. It's like, oh, Jesus.
But Sonny, like, you're headed towards the trees.
He literally, like, in the show, she's like, are you really dead? And he's just like, yeah, stupid tree. And like, he says that in the show. And I was like, damn, that shouldn't be funny, but it's great. But I loved the show.
That's the high camp next to fucking
it.
Yeah. Actually, and it's high camp about something depressing.
Right.
Weirdly enough, it's.
I wonder what that moment was like at the table read. They were like, "Yeah, keep it in."
He riffed it once. Right? Yeah. And they were like, "Oh hell yeah!
Oh hell yeah!
Let's take Can trees I try something? Down a peg.
Can I get a couple points on the back end? No.
Slow your roll." Yeah. But I've seen some bad jukebox musicals too. I saw Good Vibrations, the Beach Boys one on Broadway. Okay. I think I was one of the eight nights it played. Sure. Moving Out, of course, as a Long Islander, you have to see Moving Out. Yeah. But that's the thing. When it's someone who has that many good songs, you're like, I don't even give a fuck. Like, you're just listening to a Billy Joel cover band at that point. You're like,
that dude was awesome.
Yeah,
that dude was so good. The one he was up on the, and then the dancing was incredible. That
one was a lot of fun. Good Vibrations was really embarrassing. Like, the shoehorning in to, like, things so you knew that they were gonna like make it a song later. It's like, wait, next Saturday's the Surf and Safari? You know, it's like, oh no. It would be like in a Billy Joel musical. It's like, well, it looks like the lights went out on Broadway.
All right, we know this. Okay. Thank you, July.
I call. Well, me, you have to know when to hold them, know when to fold. I'm like, all right, Ken.
I wonder what the wines were called at that fucking show at the bar. Like, bottle of white, bottle of red. It's
like, now you can make love to a tonic and gin if you'd like. Put your dick in this tonic and gin.
Midtown,
if you do that, bring your souvenir cup, though.
Yes, of course. Yeah. I pre-dip my dick in my souvenir cup. It's a huge thing.
You see Beautiful, the Carole King musical?
No. I think my friend Evan Todd was in it.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Okay.
Yes, I believe so. He was in a Broadway musical recently, and I think it was, unless there was like also a Janis Joplin one, and I'm blending like witchy women all into their own. I think it was Carole King.
Yeah, there's a Janis Joplin one, but it hasn't been on Broadway yet. It's like regional theaters do that one. Okay. Oh.
Wow, you're all plugged in. This is like people who know, like, hey, there's this kid graduating out of Virginia State who's ready to go pro. Like,
we signed that kid.
You're like this weird, like, oh, I'm in a fantasy Broadway league where we choose productions from
fucking would.
Jimmy's. Oh my God. Imagine if there was like a Jimmy's app and you could like fake draft them to your fake agency.
What's the Jimmy's?
They're the high school Tony Awards. And it's kids who like are seniors in high school will get signed to Broadway shows straight out of graduation.
Oh, that's
from
amazing.
The Jimmy's. Yeah.
And the Jimmy's are like national.
It's like a big deal. Yeah.
It's a girl who just started in Mean Girls won the Jimmys last year, and she's now a lead on Broadway.
Right. Oh,
that's wild.
I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
It's so sick.
It's so crazy, but it also makes so much sense in a, you know, like if you're trying to make a production with people who are under 30.
Yeah.
Right. It's like everyone else who's been around for a while is like at minimum mid 20s. And you're like, we want to make a high school musical. It's like, well, we need high school kids.
Did you see the high school that did Alien?
Yeah. That was cool as hell.
And then like the cast came and like it went viral. And then they were like, we're going to do it one more night. And, what's her name?
Sigourney Weaver.
She showed up and like introduced the show. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's so cool.
Sick.
And that makes it like, seeing that, I was like, holy shit, this is wild. Then I just imagined if I made one different step in my life when I'm like, oh yeah, me and my wife, we're moving to North Carolina. We bought a house and I'm going to be a teacher. And be like, I could see myself foreseeably being like, all right, you guys have never seen the movie Alien. And then like writing the Alien stage play for my class to perform or whatever. I could just see, like, I wrote an entire backstory to the drama teacher that put on the Alien where I'm like, I know this. I know a guy like this who's like, he was a funny dude in high school and college and loved movies. And now he's like a teacher and he's like mad that he doesn't do anything. And he's like, all right, I got a fucking idea. But that I would kill the. I would have done theater in high school if the shit was like that.
Was your high school big on theater or the arts at all? Or is it just like
not
more?
Not really. Also, I might be I'm probably a little older than you guys. I went to high school in the late 90s. I graduated 2000, and it was still a pretty homophobic time. Like, we were just starting to get, like, you know, people were just starting to be out in. And also, I shouldn't say it was a very homophobic time. I'm also from Long Island, so those two things play into each other. Right. It's not exclusively the late 90s at that point. It's also a huge dose of being performatively blue collar, living a half hour away from the greatest international city in the world.
Yeah.
I never did theater because the non musical play was always during football season. And then the musical play was in the spring when I didn't play sports, but I would never do a musical cause I can't sing at all. And it wasn't even like, they almost did Rocky Horror Picture Show and I played Rocky, which I would have just hung out in Tidy Whitey's on stage the entire time.
And you're like,
and I was like, I'm in.
You're like, what's the character?
Yeah, like, I don't care anything. I'm like, that, I said, that sounds good. No sing, like no singing, but you're in a lot of scenes just standing there in Tidy Whitey's. I was like, I'll do it. And then the drama teacher picked like a more, like, you know, I feel like they went with like Oklahoma or some shit. Yeah,
okay. Was that your first show that you've ever done? Like, what is that, like the first time you were on stage?
No, that was just like in a workshop. The first time I was ever on stage was junior year of high school, or was it senior year of high school? My first time I was on stage was senior year of high school. I did the talent show.
Awesome.
Like just like a stupid time. Me and my friends did a choreographed dance to Michael Jackson songs. aged very well. And we did like all through the years, each one of us was a different Michael, and we really worked hard on it. And cause there was this other group of guys, also our friends, the Mikes and the Johns, who did, like NSYNC or Backstreet Boys junior year and won, and they were coming and they were my friends, but we weren't even the theater kids. We were the popular kids, and they were like coming back to like try to win their title. And then me and like my friends, Brian, Dennis and Matt Smart were like, let's fucking beat them. We can beat them. And we like got together and we were like came up with, and then we like enlisted like girls from the theater department, like help us finish these. And like, we got all these poses and shit that
oh
we got
my
to do.
God.
And the vibe I felt off the fucking crowd when I was performing Annie, Are You Okay? I was Smooth Criminal. So I had like the zoot suit on and I'm just lip syncing. I'm just lip syncing and dancing. And the energy I felt from the crowd in that moment, I was like, I'm going to chase this forever. I was up until that moment planning on being like an FBI agent. I was pre-majored. I already signed my major to be biology.
Yeah.
I was like off to college to like be like, I'm going to get a science degree and then use that to get into Quantico. And from there, I'll be a special agent. Like,
holy,
it was like my whole
shit
plan. And then I was, and I'm like, Annie, are you okay? I mean, I was always like, always a goofball.
Yeah.
But then I realized, I was like, oh no, this is the best feeling I've had since the first time I got ejaculated. Because it was like, the, you know, like when the first time you masturbate, you're like just playing with yourself. Then all of a sudden you're like, wait, something's about to happen at the end. Yeah. Here. And then for me, I felt like that when I'm like, oh, this is fun. And then also when that crowd is like screaming at the same time as you, all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, this is going somewhere special. Yeah. So it just felt so fucking cool. And then I was like, you know, went to college, switched my major to TV,
okay,
signed up for the theater program, but then found that they had a, improv and sketch team there.
That's
and
awesome.
That sounded even more like my path. So I just started doing that shit. And all because I fucking lip sync. I want to take this moment to thank Michael Jackson
yeah
for touching me.
Oh, and my
what an insane choice of words. Okay, cancel me, SNL.
Yeah, cancel, yeah. You're out.
SNL calls. We were almost going to invite you. We needed someone who was almost 40 and can't do characters.
We recently heard you on a podcast talking about Michael Jackson.
And we think you have what it takes.
Yeah.
We need to hire you so that you get canceled. We can sneak another guy in.
Oh, my God. But
that was for me my first stage moment. And then my next time I was on stage was doing college improv show. And
that's,
it was
awesome,
like,
man.
And it just, and then always you're like, we should have a dance number in this.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Because like, you're a college sketch team, mostly
right
dudes, because yep it's again the early 2000s.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like,
right.
And then all of a sudden you're just like, oh, we got to have a dance number. And
right
then you see the power of like doing sketch. Taught me the path, like that made me appreciate musical theater that much more, like memorizing lines and having cool theatrical moments. Like when you do fun stuff like that, you're like, and then you go see it on a grand scale, you're like, oh fuck. Like
it's
I had
nuts
a new, I like learned to appreciate it starting at lip syncing, ending at Broadway. That's my origin story for
should,
liking
man
musicals.
You should audition for the Michael Jackson musical when it comes to Broadway.
I
think they
wait
are making one.
That's
which
insane
is nuts,
by the
oh
way.
Wow.
Yeah. They can't.
They are. I think it was like set to come to Broadway, and then they were like, nope, like after that documentary came out, and
yeah
then now it's like apparently back on to do it.
Jesus Christ.
And of yeah course
it was at the West End. I saw they were doing a stage share with there's an improv show on the West End, like a long form musical improv show called Showstoppers.
Oh,
that
that's
I was
awesome
going to. Yeah, and they were doing a stage share with the Michael Jackson musical.
Yay.
Yeah. And I was like,
can we have a different green room, please?
Yeah. we have to keep this Neverland set up. Okay.
We'll improvise in front of this. What about you guys? What are some trends or things you really like in musical theater, or things I wouldn't necessarily like that you get from it that you enjoy?
you're seeing a lot. I feel like I'm seeing a lot of musicals now that have like electronic music stuff weaved in. Whether it's good or bad, it's a huge trend. There's a lot of drum pads where people are like, yo, throw the 808 in our musical.
Oh. And I'm into that as like as a recovering synth head.
Yeah,
I'm totally into that. What show, is there a show, a specific example?
When I saw Hamilton at the Public, ooh, they had a bunch of like, they had a bunch of trigger pads and stuff.
Oh,
and
cool.
So I saw them doing that, but there are other shows that have like DJs on stage. Here Lies Love. Did you hear about that one?
Oh, that was sick.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, I think it was it the music of the Talking Heads or David Byrne?
I
or?
Thought it was Talking Heads.
I might be wrong. They're sorry,
same,
Twitter.
Same.
Yeah.
David Byrne's the lead singer of Talking Heads, so it's probably that.
Yeah, it was awesome. And tons of electronic music. There was like barely a band. It was mostly just like
cool.
Press play, like all these cool different triggers and stuff.
I can get behind that.
Yeah.
That's
I would love to see more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only a matter of time. Like, I think there need, like, was Hamilton the spoonful of sugar that got rich white tri-state area people to like hip hop?
Yes.
And I'm wondering, like, will there be a Wu-Tang musical, like something like that? Like telling the tale of kids growing up in Staten Island to the tunes of Wu-Tang? That'd be fucking awesome.
That would be sick.
A few years ago, it apparently wasn't successful because it closed like relatively quick, but they did Tupac musical.
The
music
of shit.
You saw it? If you hear me, yeah.
You saw it? Was it good?
No.
Okay.
Sorry. It closed very quickly.
Yeah. But
we appreciate the honesty.
Yeah.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, before Hamilton, did a show called In the Heights.
Right.
And that was the first like real hip hop show where like.
Because he won a Tony for that.
He won a Tony for that. That was his first like Broadway show, to my knowledge. And like, it crushed. And like my high school, like a primarily white high school in the Jersey Shore, was like, we're gonna go see In the Heights, and like everyone was like rapping for the next like year, to the point where it's like my high school years later did In the Heights.
Oh, that's so
which
cool.
Was awesome. I mean, it was a bunch of probably like white kids that they shouldn't have done it, but I was like, good for them. But
that's if I remember correctly, In the Heights was like Lin-Manuel was like started as like a one man show, right? And
I
then built
like,
to like off, then was like off Broadway, and then a Broadway show, and then won the Tony.
And won the Tony.
It started like his high school project where they were like, yeah, you're gonna write a show, and he developed it over years and years.
Right. And he was part of Freestyle Love Supreme. Too,
they're on Broadway now.
Yeah.
It's
nuts.
My
friend Kayla's the beatboxer.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
It's awesome. Yeah.
It's
they're
sick.
Doing a Broadway run.
They're
right?
on a Broadway run right now.
I think it's 16 weeks.
Yeah.
They're doing.
That's crazy.
It's
if I'm back in New York at any time, I'd love to see that.
You got
to
go. Let's go. We'll go. We'll
I'll
do
text
it.
You guys and UTK and see if we can get tickets.
Oh, dude, I rap battled UTK at UCB.
Oh.
At Chelsea. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I love that dude. Yeah.
Dude, he's amazing.
Former guest of the podcast, I believe, from Being an Only Child episode was what his episode was about.
Okay.
I'm just I'm saying that to the listeners, and I look up and Doug is going, oh, okay. I'm like, thank you. I guess I didn't need an acknowledgement, but it felt good. Oh, okay, yeah, maybe I'll listen. I'm plugging the podcast to you guys who are currently guests on
what
it.
What number is that one?
Oh, that I don't know anymore.
Oh, okay.
Something I love about Broadway like right now is that like there's now like every year a show is like the show to beat, where it's like now it's like, I think that started with Book of Mormon, where
agreed.
It's like the South Park guys like fucking crushed it and wrote a Broadway musical. And it's like, now it's like, that was like the first show where like people were in the street playing the lottery and like almost getting hit by cars.
Right.
And now it's like, there's a show like that almost every year now. That's like, this is going to be the next big one. This is going to be the next big one.
And they kind of do that like buzzy ad, like marketing behind it too, where like, they're like, people seem to really like Book of Mormon. It's like, push that. Push that, like, and then get all the people who live in the tri-state area to go, and then get people to start flying in to be like, well, I've heard everyone I know have seen Book of Mormon.
Exactly.
I never saw Book of Mormon.
Neither have I, actually. You've seen it, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm so pissed.
So
I was
funny.
Asked to audition for it.
Really?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Did you go in?
No.
You should have.
I could not.
You could have been Josh Gad right now.
I know shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I went after Josh Gad left, I was asked to audition for it.
Okay.
But like Gemberling, I think also auditioned and didn't get it. So I don't feel that in School of Rock. I got asked to audition for both solely because of the way I look.
Oh, sure.
And then I guess I have some comedy chops. And then they were like, no, but really, it's not that much of a singing part, is what they kept saying. And I was like, I don't think you understand that when you say bring in however many bars, I don't even know what that means.
Oh, man.
So I don't think I'm your guy, even if you don't need him to be that strong of a singer. And Gemberling has a fucking amazing voice.
Really?
And yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, whoa. He's a beautiful singer.
Oh, it's awesome.
He was the lead singer of a band, and I think his band has songs on, like, The American Pie and, like, the Toxic Avenger soundtracks. Yeah. I mean, he's like a little New York City arts guy. He grew up in New York City. And but he has a great singing voice. There used to be a Del Close Marathon show, a group called No Posers, and that was a rock band that was Manzoukas, Husky, and Gemberling playing. They would set up guitar, drums, and sing, and it would be an improvised band rehearsal.
Holy
and they
shit.
Would like sing songs, like completely improvised songs, and then also like discuss gigs and shit like that. And I went up against them in a cage match and we lost, but that's because that's like the coolest fucking thing.
If they toured show right now, it'd probably sell out like big theaters.
For sure.
That's sick. They should do that. That's sick.
Executive produced by High and Mighty Presents.
You just start talking.
I just become like a weird like Hollywood producer type. I start wearing those like big rose colored glasses and
you're playing the Roxy next week. You're shit.
Manzoukas, I need you to do this Heartthrob magazine photo shoot.
Oh man. Get Josh Gad involved. He'll probably be like, oh, I love this.
Josh Gad has been fucking one step ahead of me my entire career. I mean, he's very talented and we're not exactly the same flavor, but my first major movie role I auditioned for, which in hindsight, why would I ever think I had a crack at it? But I was like, who knows? You know, it's actually, I'm auditioning for it. So there's probably a chance I'll be chosen, you know, unbeknownst. I'm 25, have never been in a movie or a TV show. And I'm like, oh, well, I could get it. I am funny. And then I don't. And Josh Gad gets in for the rest of my life. I'm like, man, that Josh Gad character is like, he was on Broadway. And him and Dan Fogel, who did Putnam County Spelling Bee. Yeah. Fogler, right?
Yeah, Fogler.
Yeah. I think you would have been better as that snowman, Gabriel.
Yeah. Thank you. Right? I could have been Ivan or whatever his name
Olaf.
Is. Olaf.
Yeah.
I knew it was Eastern Bloc.
Wait, now you did a couple lines on Younger, right?
Yes. I did a couple of episodes on Younger.
Okay. Whoa. I was in the mix for that, and then I found out you got it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, they got rid of me after season two because, and they never told me why, but they needed Nico's character to be like, and I eventually found out way later from a producer that. Like Nico's character needed to be slightly more appealing. It's like maybe he shouldn't have a roommate if this like adult woman was gonna get involved with it. Like I guess like the joke was, oh, you're dating this young guy. Don't forget they have roommates and they smoke weed and play video games. And eventually they were like, we need to make Nico a little sexier. And it's like, should we lose the fat guy who's in a robe playing video games and like
make Nico sexier?
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah,
they should have at least
that
like
dude is sexy AF. For
hottest
real.
Man, hottest man.
They should have kept a photo of you on the wall just as like a.
If you don't think I comment on like Younger's Instagram every once in a month, they're like, man. Which heartthrob do you want Elijah to end up with? I'm like, Gabe. I don't care.
Is Sutton Foster's in that?
Yes.
Tony Winner. Multiple Tony Winner.
Yeah. And I was on that show working with her and had no idea who
really?
She was.
Holy
and then,
shit.
Then she was with Bobby Cannavale for a while,
I think
right?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
she may have been married to him and now is married to someone else. Like,
okay. And she was married to Christian Borle.
Oh, maybe
like another.
Yeah.
No, and I think Bobby Cannavale was after him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Who knows? Well, whatever. I'm speaking out of turn. Sorry, Sutton. Pleasure working with you. You were wonderful.
I just
no idea that she was. And then when I start following her on social media because we're on a show together, I start seeing her stuff and I'm like, oh. I'm like, well, this woman has 180,000 followers. I'm like, oh, she's a fucking legend.
I heard a story. I don't know if it's true or not, if it's a rumor, but her like first big show is Thoroughly Modern Millie, which she won the Tony Award for.
She was the understudy.
She was the understudy, and it was Kristen Chenoweth, right?
I don't know who was starring in it.
I heard it was Kristen Chenoweth, and then Kristen Chenoweth was offered a show, like a television show, and she left to do it, and it like flopped apparently, and then that one, like Sutton Foster played the role, won the Tony Award for it, and like became a star.
Oh, good. That's like,
it's
the,
like a cool, like,
well, yeah. That was like, it wasn't like Lou Gehrig, a backup to a dude, and the dude like pulled his hamstring, stepped out, and then Lou Gehrig played like 2,000 unbroken games or whatever. And he's just sort of like, you know, oh, whoa, no, I just let, I shouldn't have never let this kid have a chance.
And then the guy's like, can I get it? Let me get in for dinner. He's like, no, fuck you.
He's like, nah, dude, I'm on my way. I got this figured out.
That's what the musical Damn Yankees about.
The Damn Yankees.
He shakes his fist at him from
that
behind.
Fucking catcher's perspective.
What is the Damn Yankees about?
I think this is what it's about. I don't know all of it, but it's about like this old, like fucking fat dude who makes a deal with like the devil to play and like goes and plays for the Yankees.
Oh, so the Damn is part
the
of it.
Damned Yankees.
I get it now. I get it now.
Yeah, that's to my knowledge. Like, what's it like? I love musical theater, but I don't know everything about it. Yeah, I played baseball for 13 years. Yeah. And they'd be like, stop singing in the fucking outfield.
What about off Broadway musicals? Have you seen any? I'm trying to think. I Avenue Q was a musical, right?
Yeah, and it was on Broadway. Then it went off Broadway to New World, and it just closed.
Yeah,
and
it just closed. I saw
like 15 years.
I saw Avenue Q. I saw like Stomp and Bring Into Noise, Bring Into Funk, and all that.
I saw
shit.
Blue Man Group.
Oh, Blue Man Group was fucking cool.
So fun.
That's really, that is a fun one. I saw Gutenberg the musical from the same writers as Beetlejuice.
Yeah, that's
I saw that when Anthony was in it, when Anthony and Scott were the leads.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they started at UCB, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They like wrote it and then acted in it, and then it spread. Like, you just started, like, when I remember Anthony was just kept posting flyers from them doing it all over the country.
One of the guys in Beetlejuice, wasn't he in Gutenberg also? Like,
that's quite possible, because they would have that connection then.
It's the writers. I mean,
it's the same writers. It's Scott Brown and Anthony wrote and starred in the Gutenberg originally.
Okay.
So now they wrote the book for
Beetlejuice.
For Beetlejuice, yes. Okay. I'm trying to think of other off Broadway shit I've seen, but like,
In terms of musicals?
It's not really the venue, right?
Like, no.
It's like, hard. Like, Jersey Boys, like, that was on Broadway for years. Like, now it's like, if you're not, like, playing, like, in a Broadway house, like, or something, it's like, just go off Broadway. It's going to be cheaper to run it, and then it's, like, in a smaller space, and people will still go see it.
Yeah, so people will pay less.
Yeah.
They're happy to pay less.
Well, not even really. Like, Avenue Q, I know, was, like, still, like, $150 for, like, a great seat, and I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
But it's I saw Puffs and there were tickets up to 80 to 100 bucks.
And that's what
the show is.
Puffs was a Harry Potter parody musical, but they couldn't say Harry Potter. They couldn't say any of that stuff. So it was all like veiled language.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. So now I know what Puffs means.
Yeah.
it was like from the perspective of like the Hufflepuffs, like the first like 4 years at Harry, like at Hogwarts.
That's a fun idea.
Yeah.
That got like a Fathom events. In theaters. I was like, what the fuck?
It did, yeah.
That's wild. Yeah. I mean, that's the power of Harry Potter. That people watch knockoff shit of it. You know what I mean?
And you know a little bit about Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah, I do.
I highly doubt you do. Is there any way you can prove that you know Harry Potter trivia?
Hell the fuck no.
Do you still have a koosh ball?
Oh, yeah. I got like signed books and like, I got like the denim jacket from the 90s and shit.
We almost wore them on the plane out.
Yeah. To be dumbasses on the plane.
Yeah, that'd be awesome wearing Harry Potter denim jackets.
No, Rosie Show denim jackets.
Even better.
Because people would think, we'd be like, oh, is the Rosie Show fucking coming back? Like, what is this? Are they going to do a bit on the plane?
Wasn't it so funny in hindsight how much Rosie pretended to be sweating Tom Cruise?
So
and then
funny.
Also, it's like, if we can use that as a lens to theater, it's like a closeted gay woman and a closeted gay man pretending to have some dynamic where for the sake of like protecting themselves from their own truths or whatever.
Yeah, that's
like,
Broadway.
That is very Broadway. Yeah.
Wow. You know what? Full circle. That's it. That's the Venn diagram of Broadway.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's wild. Wait, and is there a Broadway, a musical that you know about that you have never seen, or it's so old, or it's never been run again? Because like to me, I always wanted to see Tommy, and I always wanted to see Starlight Express because they were on skates, which to me was like the coolest idea.
Well, in terms of off-Broadway, I've always wanted to see The Fantastics.
Oh,
because that one's still running,
it's
and it's like one of the longest-running shows.
Yeah. Right. I know that literally as a title of a show, and I know no more details about it.
Yeah.
But I know that The Fantastics has been running forever.
Yeah, that's
so funny.
I've never seen anything about this. I've never heard any music. All I know is that like in my middle school, there was in the theater a painted poster of Big. And that
Pig,
was a musical.
The musical?
Yeah.
Based on the Tom Hanks movie?
Yeah. And
oh,
I was
that's
like,
wild.
It's wild. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, that should just like, that's the way to play on nostalgia now rather than reboot these movies. Is like, I guess that is kind of what Beetlejuice is doing. And we've seen it a little bit now where it's like, use that nostalgia for these movies and come back. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the musical, will fucking kill.
That would
Rocky.
Slay.
Rocky.
It was on Broadway.
I know, that's crazy.
So my buddy saw it, and he said that like the first few rows in the first act had to move at intermission. They gave them different seats in the theater because the boxing ring came out into the crowd. And like literally like... people were like surrounding the boxing ring like during that last match.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I'm like, that's so, I'm like, how is this not good? This is fucking incredible.
Did you guys see Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark? Or
no.
No, me neither. I just wanted to.
Have you ever seen the clip on Letterman?
Yes. That I've seen the Green Goblin song.
Oh my God. That guy's in Hadestown. So is the guy who plays Spider-Man. They're both in Hadestown together. Patrick Page and Reeve Carney, who was Spider-Man the Green Goblin, now are the two stars of Hadestown.
Oh, good for them.
Thank God.
Right? Thank God.
Same theater.
Is it?
No, I'm just kidding. Because of what you were saying about the Winter Garden earlier.
Same theater, same dressing rooms.
Wow, that's redemption for sure.
Yeah.
There's a book apparently called Song of Spider-Man, I think it's called. And it's about the guy who wrote the book for that show. And somebody was telling me, cause I didn't read it cause I can't read. no, I have no fucking time. But he was saying like they were looking for someone to write the book and he submitted like a page. And then from that page, you're like, you're going to write this. And like 2 weeks later, he was on a plane with like Bono and the Edge. And like, they were talking about the show and he's like, whoa, what the fuck is like,
that's awesome.
And that's what that whole book's about. It's like his journey in that show.
That's cool. I got to look that up. That sounds fun as hell. Oh, I just thought of another musical. I've seen, I saw The Little Mermaid.
Okay.
And I saw Beauty and the Beast. And Beauty and the Beast, I was young and could care less about theater, but when, you know, we would go to Broadway shows like it was church as kids. Cause like my mom would be like, come on, we're going. We'd be like, oh, we got to wear button down shirts. We got to go to Carmine's. We got to eat, you know,
like that's how they lured us.
It's like, we're going to eat huge chicken parms when you're going to go. We're like, all right, fine.
And we skip the show.
And we saw Beauty and the Beast and I was like, who cares about Beauty and the Beast? This is for chicks or whatever. I'm like 15. Then they get to this like one musical sequence where they're in a bar and it's all like a line dance with mugs where they hit the mugs back and forth. Like it's like a percussion thing too. And me and my brothers were like, this is actually like cool, right? Like,
that's fucking
and it was
sick.
Like the fear of saying something like that was cool. Yeah. We were like, this is cool, right? And we're like, yeah, I like it. It's like, I like Broadway. Yeah.
Oh shit, that song's on the CD. Should I get the CD? We can like listen to it again.
I gotta get Green Day Dookie and the Beauty and the Beast cast recording.
Green Day, another Broadway musical.
Man.
Oh, right,
American Idiot.
Yeah. Finally.
That's proof that I think anything can be a Broadway musical.
Yeah. Well, the fact that wasn't Will Ferrell on Broadway as George Bush too,
and that
Thank You America. Yeah. I never saw it live.
Wait, Delaney did.
Delaney
like
was in it.
He did a cameo in it.
Yeah, Delaney was the shoe thrower.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
That's a wild, wild night. Someone in my family went to go see the Bush show, and I think it was my dad because was alive then, obviously, but he was a stagehand. So a lot of his friends were Broadway and off Broadway stagehands. And he was like, I'm going to go see so-and-so's a guy he called his cousin is working this show. I'm like, oh, my improv teacher is one of the, like the small, like a small role in that. So let me know. And my dad came home that like knows nothing about comedy. And he was like, so I met that guy, Michael, your teacher, and he had a lot of really nice things to say about you. And I was like, Delaney, like my fucking Yoda. I was so happy to hear that he liked me. I was like, yes.
That's awesome. That was like to your dad. And you're just like,
oh, right. Yeah. It's like your football coach telling your dad, your son actually has what it takes.
You're like, yes.
Yeah. That was a fucking wild. That was a weird show. What would you like to see? Like, let's come up with our dream tailored musical to ourselves. I feel like My Name is Jonas, the Weezer musical needs to happen.
That would be sick. That would be fucking sick.
That just like the collision of white people racing to get there via bridges and tunnels would be insane.
It would be fucking big framed glasses and flannel galore. Right, yeah. As long as the eye can see.
It's cardigan night at the Weezer musical.
Oh, does it need to be like a jukebox space?
Oh, I wonder. Maybe not.
Well, I was going to say, I think a live version of Bigger, Longer, and Uncut would be fun.
Yeah, like
oh, that is South Park movie?
Yeah. Maybe like a modernized version of it or something like that. Oh, I don't know.
That would be fucking cool. Yeah. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Team America. Yeah.
Do it with fucking puppets? That would be, I mean, they did it with Avenue Q. It's like, right. Just kind of like throw all those shit in the blender and you're like, oh.
Because when I thought of jukebox, the first thing that came to mind was Pantera.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That'd be cool, right? Like the Dimebag and his brother, like in making that the arc or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, that would just be so fucking cool. Imagine you're just getting like the 70-year-old like Jersey based biddies to come down to see
my girl would be like, we saw the show at the community.
Yeah, exactly. That would be my mom too. Do you know anything about this Panthera? You know,
like, it was gorgeous. They had a revolving stage.
I loved it.
For me, I don't know. I feel like that's
it's a hard one.
You know what? Maybe like I don't fucking. I just love like musicals and shit. It's like,
it's an insane question. It's like, obviously, that's something that takes a number of years to come up with. It's like, what would you guys like to see as a musical?
I want to see Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, the musical with all that soundtrack.
Ace of Spades. That'd be sick. A really fun idea.
They fucking skateboard on stage. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, like Jackass the Musical featuring the Tony Hawk soundtrack.
Dude, Jackass the Musical would be
insane. That'd be
to do it every night, to just like take a skateboard to the nuts or like a fucking airbag to the back or every day live.
Yeah, stage combat. Oh man. One thing is that I saw the Lennon musical, John Lennon one, where they had 8 different actors from every different like color, race, and creed play John Lennon.
Really?
And yeah, I saw it and it was crazy. I feel like Beatles musicals are kind of weirdly cursed.
It's hard.
There's been a bunch of them.
It's
almost like you're aiming too high by making a Beatles musical, right? Like also the Beatles attitude and or like their POV shifted so much over their career, where it's like you could do a musical that's like hippie weird, you could do a musical that's like poppy British or like sad and like you know, activism or whatever. You can find any one of those angles, and to try to just be like, I have a Beatles idea feels like so much.
If Jimmy Buffett can't succeed on Broadway, like he had a Broadway show with all his music and like with his parrot head fan base,
right? And just like it's you imagine the Venn diagram for people who like Jimmy Buffett and who go to theater, who go to musical theater, go to Broadway, who could afford Broadway.
Yeah.
I have a lot of Tommy Bahama, but I'm saying these people are showing up in their fucking Tommy Bahama phones.
The dress code went out the door for that fucking show. I bet
they're like Crocs are allowed.
Shoes are optional.
No shirts, no shoes. Come right in.
Please just buy a fucking ticket.
It smells like fucking coconut oil.
Because he has the restaurants. I heard he's starting like a all-inclusive in Jimmy Florida. Buffett Margaritaville.
That's not a bad idea.
No, I don't think
that's
so.
Not a bad idea. Yeah. Like as long as it's not like theme parky.
I'll tell you.
But
right
like
now.
If it's sort of like someone I know was like had their engagement dinner at the Tommy Bahama restaurant in Palm Springs,
really?
And I was like, they have restaurants, and they were like, it's really good.
Yeah.
I was like, get the fuck out of here.
If within that community, like whatever he's building, he should build a theater. Exclusively do his failed Broadway musical and like put actors to work.
Yes.
And, like,
yeah.
That would be so smart.
Yeah.
Why not?
I just had a musical idea. I thought Jimmy Buffett, it'll come back to me. I keep being like, what about this person doing a musical? I just like, that would be fucking crazy. Eddie Money dying really points you to like how many singles he really had. Like that would be a hell of a jukebox musical.
I think a jukebox musical that would, if done right, which people would clamor over, would be like the inception of the Rat Pack, where it's like you get the 5 guys and then it's like you follow each one of them until they all are just like kind of like first act, second act type thing.
Oh, that would be such a fucking cool.
That'd be Bridget Tunnel Central.
Yeah, like, exactly. Every Ginzo is like, fuck yeah, Frank! You know?
Dino!
Hit a woman, it for me. Oh, God. Please. Yeah,
they talk about how they fucking die at the end. And they're just like, yeah, my God, it's fucking beautiful, dude.
I'm so sad.
Dude, oh, Dino died.
Yeah,
that would be the fucking last song. Frank would be the last person to sing, and he would sing My Way, and that'd be the last one.
It would be like over like a stage coffin being lowered, like, and it'd be like, I did it my way, like a ghost over it.
Get it the Tony Awards now. I'm going to see it. I'm rushing it. I'm playing the lottery. I'm investing.
Oh, man.
I said it before. This is what I thought of. I said it earlier, but a Wu-Tang musical would be like, first of all, I would go even as far to say a Wu-Tang Kung Fu musical would one of my favorite things to ever, like, use their music sung by like people who can rap, who also have like stage combat experience, choreograph some.
That would be awesome.
It would be so fucking cool.
That'd be amazing.
I don't think there's ever been like a Kung Fu musical.
Yeah.
would be sick.
Right.
Because it is like
stage
dance.
Combat.
Yeah, it's dance, right?
Oh, let's just show. It's like in the Olympics now. Isn't it like dance fight? Like capoeira is like in the Olympics or some shit?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I don't break dancing's down in the Olympics.
That's
so
fucking cool.
I know, right?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, when I went to Lollapalooza, I saw, this would be like 96 when Metallica headlined and Wu-Tang headlined. I saw the Shaolin monks do like a show as like on the same stage as all these other, and these Shaolin monks just did shit like laid on nails, stood on their heads, did like cool flips and like martial arts. And I was just like, this actually works in the middle of a music festival. And then I fucking put that shit with some Wu-Tang music over it.
Oh, man.
In New York, people go fucking ham.
Even
for
like
that.
A Cirque du Soleil with like Wu-Tang music would be insane.
Would be so
insane.
Awesome. Yes. Yeah. A hip hop fucking Cirque du Soleil would be a dream.
Oh, man.
I saw the Beatles Cirque with my mom.
So not cursed in that realm. Yeah.
That one's beautiful.
It's really, like, they're all, I can't tell the difference between all of them, but it's just that is. The fact that there's no more like sad elephants or scary clowns, and that's what circuses are now, is a huge upgrade in society.
Now it's like fucking dirt bikes and like,
like, oh, cool, rollerblades.
Like, wow, that person could dislocate their shoulder.
Wow. There was a musical, I didn't see it, but like it's like in workshops, and apparently it's like getting some crazy steam, but the whole show only has Smash Mouth All-Star as the song, but done in different genres through different characters and stuff. And I'm like, apparently it's really fucking funny and good.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm like, I live for that shit. I'm like, give me that. That's
by
fucking
concept.
Awesome.
Yeah. I want experimental musical theater.
Oh my God.
It's out there.
I'm sure.
Man.
A Radiohead musical about like a weird robot child.
Ooh.
That would be, or like,
Okay Computer,
a Ramones
musical.
Like that would, like all the old rockers be like, oh shit, like I gotta go see this. Yeah. The Ramones or something like that.
That'd be
like,
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude. Hell there's, yeah.
Like, or maybe a Patti Smith, just kids.
I was thinking
show.
I was thinking
using her songs.
Patti Smith would be good.
That would be awesome.
I was thinking
just for kids.
Yeah, just for kids. Yeah.
Patti Smith children's musical theater show.
What story what's this story about? Jesus.
This is weird.
I was thinking like Elvis would be a good one, but I realized Elvis was a musical. There was a show called All Shook Up.
I think I saw that on Broadway too. Right, it was a jukebox.
It was just only his music, like with like a story, I guess.
Yeah, but it was not that long ago, right? It was like 20 years ago. I feel
it
like
it was within like 15, 20 years.
Yeah, because I saw it. I feel like I saw that. Because that's the shit. We were close enough and upper middle class enough to go to Broadway shows, but no one had taste in my family, so it'd be like, Little Mermaid's a movie, you know, like, let's go see that on Broadway. Let's go see whatever. It's the Elvis musical. We like Elvis. Yeah.
Right.
I finally realized what I want to see is a musical. And I don't know if it would work now because it's the movie's super problematic, but Animal House, I think would be a
be
fun
awesome.
Musical.
And
that'd
I think you can just tweak it a little
Change
bit to
it.
Not have, Black people be super scary. date rape be a huge plot point.
Yeah.
Voyeurism being another major plot point.
Once we get that out, show us the toga party.
Yeah, exactly. You have like a 7-minute musical at this point. We're going to eliminate all the problematic parts. It's a food fight. But a staged food fight would look fucking cool
that
as hell.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on High and Mighty, guys.
Hell yeah.
Thanks for having us, man.
Whatever plugs you guys have, check out toxicmasculinitythemusical.com.
Yeah.
We bought it for the year, so we got it for the year, baby.
It was $12.
We're paying $12
a month. We might want to keep this through 2030, just in case. As you're signing up, you're like, 12 years is worth it, right?
Yeah. My friend bought my old website, KenMcGraw.com, just the domain because it expired, and then made me a website. A fake website that was just me, and I was like, fuck, and expired. And now my domain is like $3,000 to own. I'm like, you son of an asshole.
That sucks.
So what do you, what are you guys on Twitter? If people want to tweet at us, their pitches for musical theater and shit.
Sure. At D Wydick, D W I D I C K.
And I'm at Ken McGraw, and we're at Toxic Masculinity, the musical on Instagram.
And if you're listening to this Thursday morning and you have not gotten tickets for tonight at UCB Franklin, just in case this episode comes out this week, but if not, you missed them totally. If you live in New York, look them up. I'm getting dizzy. How to get the timeline. I'm just seeing like a calendar. Nothing like smoking half a joint and then trying to do logistics of a calendar in your head. If you have no plans tonight and this episode is out this week, go see Thursday, September 19th at UCB Franklin. You guys are doing this musical. Man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for
I appreciate
us.
It. Thanks for, we might as well do this just in case. Thank you to High Grade Farms for you guys. Also got me a nice little gift of a joint of Blue Dream, which has been fantastic. High Grade Farms. Are you looking to sponsor people? Reach out, brother. I'm just going to read you all the weed companies I have in my drawer right now.
Sing them.
All of a sudden, I have like a, I'm very good.
Could you imagine?
You guys are crying.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
How high the musical?
Oh, dude.
That's it.
A stonery, like Woodstock type musical where it's like the vibe, like,
Grateful Dead.
Like hair, but like lean or great fish, dude.
Oh,
one song, 55 minutes. It's all scat. People doing it. People just doing the guitar noises themselves.
That's
their
first act.
The crowd is like, oh, I think we need mushrooms to like
this. Glad we brought our reusable cups.
I'm going to get a $28 fucking Casamigos and try to power through the back half of this thing. Well, thanks, guys. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Listen to my other podcast, Action Boys, and keep an eye on my social media. I got a new project coming that I think you motherfuckers may like. Bye, shitheads.